Welcome to Comedians Talking Baseball, our weekly MLB recap podcast where myself, comedian Joe Kilgallen, and comedian Mike Bridenstine like to nerd out on some stats, talk about the history of our fine game, and just try to make you, the listener, love baseball even more than we hope you already do. How you doing, Brian? Are you doing good? You have a good weekend?
I'm pretty good. I did Chatterbox last night. That was a good show.
Great show.
I had my show at Silver Lake Lounge. That was a good show. And I didn't really do anything else that I can think of. What did you do?
I did a show out in Plainfield, Illinois, which is about 45 minutes to an hour outside of the city.
Who names the
Plain? Yeah, that's weird. Plainfield, yeah, that's not glamorous. Although I met the mayor. The mayor of Plainfield was at the show. Nice gentleman. Michael Collins was his name, which is the name of a famous Irish patriot. It's a movie starring Liam Neeson about Michael Collins. Good flick. Mm. And yeah. And no, it was packed, and they were a great audience. There was one table that was pretty rowdy, so I refer to them as the Real Housewives of Plainfield because they look the part. But I talked to them after the show, and they were all very nice. They were saying, "Oh, we were told dinner and a show, and we were still in the dinner part. We didn't mean to be loud." And they weren't like malicious intent. You've had this.
Yeah.
For those of you listening, we're gonna get a little comedy inside here, but
hey, the show's called Comedians Talking.
Yeah. So, but I think people could relate to this.
Then you can have a show where it's firefighters, and every now and then they talk about a fire they put out that was fucking wicked.
Yeah. Damn straight. That'd be a great podcast. Firemen talking about wicked fires. They have to call them wicked fires, though.
Wicked fires with an occasional baseball talk. I would listen to that.
I would subscribe immediately. So they were doing the thing where, so the comedian tells a joke, and then they're like, "Oh my God, that reminds me of this one time," and then they talk about that. Which is such a weird thing. I think the one person said, "You were just saying so many funny things that kept reminding me of other funny things. So then we were talking about those things. It was like a compliment to you." I'm like, do you go to a movie and think, "Oh my God, I was in a situation like this once," and then you just talk throughout the rest of the movie about your situation? God,
like on my album recording, I recorded my album in front of a lot of people I went to high school with. And I brought up a story about a gym teacher that we all had. And I actually had to say, and I love this part of the album, because everyone starts saying who it is to each other, and I go, "Yeah, you know who it is. Stop talking about it."
I like that part. It's parts in like albums or, you know, comedy specials or whatever, where there's like that real moment.
Yeah, yeah.
Because sometimes, I mean, I've gone to enough recordings of friends who are, you know, recording stuff, and there's always someone to say, "All right, guys, now what happens is when I say his name, you guys are going to go insane." And, but, you know, it's always like a little hint of a phoniness.
Yeah, too. I hate every phony stand up. Like, I hate when they cut to the crowd. I know that that's social proof, and I know that people are like, "Oh, it's okay to laugh because the black guy laughed."
Yeah, totally. Or whatever. But the best specials don't do it.
But, like, it doesn't make it funnier. And also, like, I wanted something that represented what an actual show is like. Maybe that to my detriment or something because it wasn't perfect. But why not just go in a fucking studio, get it perfect, and then pipe in like laughs or something?
Yeah,
you fucking do it live.
Yeah, I always was jealous of music. People don't realize when you hear an album, that's like take after take. There's mixing. There's like, you know, they fix any little part that doesn't sound right. But with a comedy album, that's supposed to be live and real and raw to an extent. You know what I mean? Like, also, obviously, sometimes there's some editing here and there, yeah, but not like with a band.
Comedy is the furthest thing from perfect.
Yes.
It's like you're driving a car. If somebody jumps in the road, you can't just hit them and be like, "That's where I was going."
I played in a softball game yesterday. Now we're going to get this back to sports. I didn't slide it home. I probably should have. The guy who was, you know, who scored before me, who's supposed to tell me down, kind of told me a little too late. And as he said down, I glanced at the catcher and I'm like, "I think I could get in there." And I should have slid. So it was a little laziness on my part. But there was contact. I still got my foot in, but there was contact. And the umpire called me out because I'm supposed to slide to avoid it. But the throw brought him into it, into the base path, the line, you know what I mean? Like, so my teammates were like, there was contact because the catcher made the contact. It wasn't like I tried to knock him over to score. I literally stepped on the plate to avoid him, and I did. I stepped on the plate to avoid the tag, and then his body came into me. So it was kind of a shit call, but we were up by enough and the team I knew I was like, this team sucks. We're going to win this game easily. So I didn't really make a big stink about it, but although my teammates were.
Wow.
Is that kind of like what you're talking about with the, you can't hit someone with your car and say, hey, I was going that way?
I think it's the same thing.
Same exact thing. There you go. Oh, we got to thank our female listener who came out of the woods.
I have a major announcement. We have a female listener.
We sure do. The last few weeks we had asked, and then I released the podcast. If you're listening to this, this would probably be up like Monday early evening. Last week we actually were able to do it on a Sunday. That way it was out 12:01 on a Monday. I feel like that's the best, but sometimes weekends get crazy. Yeah. So we're recording this right now Monday. It's morning where Brido is. It's lunchtime where I am. Brido's in LA. I'm in Chicago. For you new listeners, we record this in different cities. And I got a message from a friend of mine who I'd hung out with enough, like, Melissa, we hung out for a little while there. Then I moved to LA and then I came back and I saw her a few months ago to show. And she did mention listening to the podcast. And she's a huge baseball fan and a really cool woman. And by the way, I've been saying woman a lot more lately because one of my feminist friends say that they're always called girl, even when they're like 40. Not that Melissa, she's probably like 26. But I'm trying to say woman more, but it feels unnatural sometimes to say like, oh, my buddy's out with this woman. Doesn't that sound like informal?
You still say girlfriend if you're dating a woman, right?
It'd be weird to say woman friend. Oh, this is my woman friend. You'd think, oh, so could I hit on her? No, it's my girlfriend. Oh, well, woman friend sounds very cold.
Accountant is like old and he's divorced and he introduced me to his girlfriend at a show one time and I was like, that sounds fucking crazy.
Yeah, certainly it depends the image there. If you got some, older my gentleman and he's Deborah. Like, oh, this is my best gal. Yeah, Deborah. that's a good name. Yeah, you imagine any dude in his 50s who's divorced, he has to be dating a Linda.
What's a name no one our age has?
Shelly.
I grew up with Shelly's, a lot of Shelly's.
Yeah, I didn't know too many Shelly's. I feel like that's, you got a good 5 years on me, so maybe that was just a little bit ahead of me.
Terrible 5 years on you.
I don't know. I think you're holding it very well.
I'm going great, but I look distinguished because I'm a man. Anyway, so since we have a female listener, we have a woman.
Yeah, we wanted to thank her for listening. So thanks, Melissa. I'm not going to say your full name because people are creepy. I don't want people looking you up.
Melissa Girl Listener.
Melissa Gale Listener. We won't call her a fit-tard, though.
Fit boy.
just Bart the guys are the fit-tards. Bart
said fit boys. I think boys is, we could still use boys, but we.
I like boys.
Since we have a female listener, we really have to behave this week, so.
I don't know. I think she's probably like would be more offended if we tried to act differently. You know what I mean? Not like we're on this podcast saying sexist shit. Like a bunch of old men going like, hey, what's up there, sugar tits? How you doing? You watch the baseball this weekend? We're not those dudes. But did you watch the baseball this weekend? Did you? There's a thing I wanted to talk about. Oh, we got to touch on this. I guess we got to touch on this. So the Josh Hader stuff that came out last week over the All-Star break. Now there's a couple more players, and I'll have to say this though: the one weren't that bad. They're looking up, so I guess there's nerds on Twitter, and I have to call them that because if your whole thing is, I'm going to look through all these famous athletes' tweets from forever and see what stupid things they said in high school and try to.
Oh my god! People are doing that.
You didn't hear two more guys had to apologize yesterday.
Were they all stars?
No, the one's good. Trey Turner for the Nationals.
Trey Turner?
God. Yeah. I'm pretty sure it's Trey Turner. There's two Turners on the Nationals, right?
Well, there's a Taylor.
I think a Taylor.
Well, all right. Turner's the shortstop, the fast one?
Yes, I'm pretty sure it's him. Shortstop who plays center,
white
too.
Guy? Oh.
Yeah, the white guy. Real racist? Yeah, him.
I don't know.
Well, no, they weren't really anything... That let me try to find them real quick. Sorry, listeners, I should be better. Wow, I typed in TRE and then it said Trey Turner tweets. I had them ready to go. Let's see if they'll actually have them in the ESPN article because knowing them, they're so lame. Yeah, they're lame.
Stuff Disney owns them. Good for society. Like, don't be a piece of shit. But also,
yeah, John Lester posted some decent stuff about it.
Don't I hate call out culture at a certain point?
I do too. Could I read them? I could read them. There's three in particular, and they're all from 2011. Or November 2011, January 2012.
Horrible, and I'm going to be like, call out culture is bad. And he's like, Hitler had some points.
No, he didn't. It's the first one is once you go black, you're going to need a wheelchair. You could almost say that's a compliment to black
once
men's penises.
Once you go black, you're going to need a wheelchair because they will make they will paralyze you with their pins.
I think he's trying to say their dicks are so big that they're gonna hurt you, ladies. Like, I think
or
that's what
he
means.
That, like that they're abusive.
I kind of think because, you know, in 2011, I think they said he was 17 or 16. I don't think he was trying to make some kind of point. I think he was just saying, hey, they got big dicks. I could be wrong, though.
Okay.
Abusive seems like a stretch. Once you go black, you're going to need a wheelchair. Maybe. I don't know. Then this other one is him responding to what you assume is a friend of his because he's not famous yet. He has no, you know, this is 2011. He just writes, number one, you're gay, spelled you're wrong. He writes, you're gay for that last tweet. And then two, ... retard strength droopy. But because the tweets have been deleted, you don't know what the guy said that he's responding to. Again, those aren't good. Calling someone gay
in the same tweet.
Yes, you're gay for the last tweet, retard strength droopy. So yeah, of course not good, right? Well, no one's saying that it is. The next
can we
but
agree
I don't know
that well, I'm not I don't know. I can't speak for everybody, but who does that harm? I mean, yeah, no one should call things like and gay should not be an insult.
No, it shouldn't be. Of course not. But let me get the last one because there's three. The last one is when the lady at the drive-thru asks who's the, I guess I'll just say it, the faggot in the back, question mark. He then wrote, oh, that would be me with a yellow emoji, like thumbs up. So he calls himself the F word there.
Okay.
And then, you know, those are the three. And compared to Josh Hader's, This is Boy Scout stuff. Because haters were really bad. Don't get me wrong, these are bad too, but these are kind of like, okay, next week we're going to have a guy where he's going to say, oh, so this fat chick cut me off in traffic, and they're going to be like, oh, he's fat shaming women who can't drive. Oh, well, maybe she had a bad day. And it's like, all right. Like these three, look, these aren't great. But to me, they're really not that bad. One, you could say he's complimenting black men's length and girth. The number two, I don't know what he's saying to his friend. Still not good use of calling someone gay and using the word retard. Still bad. And then the third one, he's calling himself that. So, look, I'm not sticking up for him, but I'm like, this shouldn't be news. You know what I mean? Yeah. A 17-year-old making tweets like this, it's stupid, but it should not be news.
I said the R-tard word twice on stage last night, and I apologized right afterwards. And I was quoting both times.
Oh, well, yeah. I mean, people should know enough when you're quoting and not being that bad.
I'll see if Donkey tweeted me or text me if you remember this. So in high school, I want Donkey to text me if he remembers this or tweeted me. But in high school, we had a motivational speaker who came in to talk to us about overcoming adversity. And he had tears in his eyes, and he goes, my son is profoundly retarded. And, like, I had to, like, leave the class because I was laughing so hard.
Oh, my God. I hope Donkey could back that up then.
I mean, he was talking about his son.
Yeah. and you're talking about being in high school. Like, there's... The one article I was reading on Deadspin, yeah, they're saying like, yeah, look, so teenage boys laugh at stuff that is over the line. They say stuff for shock value. They have a sense, like, you know, the sophomore sense of humor comes from that age and all that stuff. They weren't sticking up for it either. Actually, some of Deadspin's articles annoy me with like their holier than thou stance on some shit, you know? Oh, they all kind of act like, let's crucify this person. Where it's like, okay, settle down.
Well, yeah, I mean, I'm sure they had, like, an editorial meeting at, like, so many different, like, bullshit blogs. Not that Deadspin is bullshit, but being like, let's find some more tweets, guys. Let's really have, like, a moment here.
Yeah, totally.
What do they get out of it? So, like, man, Trey Turner was inappropriate, kind of, in high school.
I don't know what people get out of it. I think there is some sort of buzz people must get from being like the takedown person. And a lot of the people who are finding these tweets are people who don't have a lot of followers.
Oh.
So they're kind of, I think they're doing it to like create buzz for themselves. It's a weird satisfaction, I feel like. It is a mob mentality. It is like a get your pitchforks and let's get them type of thing. And
I did a show on Wednesday, and Brent Weinbach was like, you know the book 1984, like Big Brother?
Yeah.
We are all Big Brothers, was his point. Like, we are turning each other in. We are tattling on each other.
I agree. We're lame. We're fucking lame, I feel like. As much as things are cool right now, there's also a lameness to a lot of our behavior is lame.
I mean, like, if he was saying this shit now.
Of course.
It's like, hey, man, maybe don't say that. You're fucking your endorsements. Like, you're fucking a lot of, like, I don't. I guess.
Well, the other guy is Sean Newcomb. His tweets are actually worse. Sean Newcomb was a strike away from throwing a no-hitter for what team is he on? I'm blanking right now. For the Braves. And then these tweets from him from way back when came out. Some guy at Nat Squid, so a Nationals fan, I guess, just wrote Sean Newcomb is canceled and then screenshot all of the tweets from, oh, he's from 2012. Again, when he would have been 17, I believe. I'm not going to read them all. They're a little bit worse because he does a lot of hashtag fags. A lot, and it's a lot of him responding to people he knows, going, "Yeah, but Jeff, you're still a fag," and oh, that, you know, it's not great.
I can, yeah. It's not. I don't want to make an excuse for these people, but
no, there's no excuse.
Like culturally, do people not understand that word should not be an insult, right? You should never use that word as at all. But
look, people definitely know that now. In 2012, they should have, but, you know.
Right, the NBA did, like, a whole thing that was, like, don't call stuff gay, don't say the F word, whatever. But I can tell you that from, I grew up with a bunch of dudes who played sports, and that words got tossed around like that, and it was never once meant to be homophobic. And I want to say, make it very clear that I don't think that it's right, and I wish that I could go back in time and have it never said, you know what I mean? But it was never homophobic. It was just, it's a great sounding insult in a weird
way. Yes.
There's two G's, there's two T's, you can hit it.
It's like the C word. We talked about it on my other podcast, yeah. Kilgallen's Pub. I had Nolan Rafferty, the owner of Galway Bay Pub, who says the word cunt a ton. Because, you know, he's from everyone in Ireland, the UK, Australia, you know, they all say that word a lot.
Right.
And it's just, but they say, we talked about the different, he's like, it all depends on the delivery. And there's different, some people use it as a compliment. Like, they'll say, oh, he's a clever cunt, that lad. You know, like, it's meant in a loving way.
I was talking with somebody from England about it. Matt Kirshen, and he was like, it's usually, you don't say it about a woman.
No, he said that only, he actually did admit, though, he goes, I've never called a woman that, and then he remembered, actually, one time I did, and it was because this woman, like, was trying to steal some stuff, like, she was taking these popcorn baskets, because they have free popcorn, they're out, and then when they were trying to tell her, you gotta bring it back in, she, like, threw it everywhere, and then I think he said, like, that was a cunt move or something like that. And she was like, oh, my God. And there was people around because it was outside the bar, you know, people, like, outside smoking or whatever. And they're like, oh, my God, you hear what he said, all this stuff? And they go, yeah, there were some American people there. And they were like, yeah, we heard what he said. And you're being one.
My wife is African-American. My wife is black. And when she grew up, black people, she didn't say cunt ever. It was bitch was like the number one thing. If you got called a bitch, like that was like the worst. But nobody was saying cunt in the black community that she could remember, and so she never considered that like bad at all. But she knows now that it is like the number one worst thing you can be called by like a white person. So she knows it's bad. So I am not allowed to say it, but she does let me say cunt if I'm referring to Fox News pundit Tommy Lauren.
That's fair. Yeah. I say it. My wife doesn't love the word, but, you know, I mean, I obviously don't call her that. but, like, I'll say it like when I'm mad about something, you know, someone cuts me off or, you know, whatever. I definitely use it probably more than I should.
It's just a but good, yeah, you know, good word.
It is. It's there's some words that are awful and you're like, God, it's a good word to it's a good word in the sense it has impact. But again, it's all in the delivery of how you say it, I feel like, with that word, because I know some people who say it where it doesn't even make a dent because they say it in such a way, you know. But they have, like, to have that accent. An American accent can't pull off their word in that charming demeanor.
No. Yeah, you try to go up and be Jim Jeffries, it's gonna sound gross.
It is. It doesn't work well. So, all right, just to wrap this up and then we can get into some other stuff like that. I agree with you. You're like, why are they digging this up? Who is it hurting? Or they're trying to make the players better on this. Yeah. And again, no one's sticking up for that kind of behavior. You shouldn't say stupid things like that. John Lester had a tweet though, where he wrote, if you're on Twitter, please spend the 5 minutes it takes to scrub your account of anything you wouldn't want plastered next to your face on the front page of a newspaper. Better yet, don't say stupid things in the first place. Too many young guys getting burned. Hashtag the more you know. I thought that was a good way to put it. A couple people commented where they thought he was almost excusing the behavior, and he responded back, no, of course not. I don't care about the rep. You know what I mean? I thought Lester was smart with the way he handled that, or the way he, you know, summarized it by saying, like, what are you idiots doing? You know?
His message was, don't say shit. Like, don't put dumb shit out there. That's how I took that. I mean, if...
But no, but he goes, don't take 5 minutes to scrub it. But then also, better yet, don't do this in the first place, perfect, is what he wrote.
Perfect message, and I'm sure people had a fucking fault with it.
Of course. Someone will always find fault with anything.
I feel so like I'm walking on eggshells talking about this with you because I feel like anything that I say in these scenarios can be misconstrued and taken. Like, did you hear Bridenstine say that, like, cunt is an acceptable thing to call a woman? And I'm going to be like, no, that's not what I said. You know what I mean? Like, you can take, I think that the general message is don't do it. But it's also like, he had no power in high school. He had, like, he was immature. He's an idiot. And he was trying to be shocking with his friends. He knew probably in high school he shouldn't have said it. And
high school kids. I know if, you know, my brother is in college now, so he had Twitter when he was in high school, and luckily never said anything too stupid, but I'd seen exchanges with him and his friends where I remember being like, you might want to delete that, bud. Where he's just kind of like, why? And I'm like, they're just a little ignorant to the fact you're a kid. Your world is your friends.
Yeah.
In your high school and all that. So they're just not that's why I think so many high school kids are now Snapchat exclusively. I don't even think I think a lot of high school kids are, there's still some, but I know Snapchat became so big with them because they're like, great, I could say something stupid and it's gone in 9 seconds. Wonderful. And then if you screenshot on Snapchat, you get a notification that someone took a screenshot. So then you can be like, hey, listen, asshole. Yeah, I'll fight you tomorrow if you don't delete that screenshot. Like, yeah, I don't know. I think, but I just know that in high school, your world, that's why high school kids, don't you ever think to yourself, you ever see stories of these high school kids who unfortunately commit suicide or do bad things to themselves? They're cutters, they're sad, they're depressed. I want to go up to all of them and say, this doesn't matter. Yeah, you're bummed right now, and I know it sucks right now, but dude, this means nothing. Things get better. They really do. You're not even going to remember this shit. Look, I thoroughly enjoyed high school, but I don't remember most of it, and I had a good time. But, you know, it's like, I'm sure there were things that would go back and be like, oh, that was dumb. Why would I act that way? Or why did I do that? Or, oh, I could have, you know, studied a little bit. Stuff like that. But it's funny to me because there are people who really, it's like they have a sadness. And I'm like, dude, don't be sad. This sucks for a little bit. You know, quickly, 4 years go by. 4 years go by so quickly.
Yeah.
It does. You blink and it's been 4 years.
I'm pretty happy that I did not have social media in high school. I think social media bums me out now sometimes. I try to stay positive on there. Like, people, like,
I'm trying to be more like, I'm doing a new Monday thing where I thank everybody for the last week.
Yeah. I mean,
it's the second week in a row I've done that.
You're scrolling through
the shows they book me on.
People pour their fucking hearts out on Facebook, and it's like you're scrolling through. You're like, what's going on? You are very sad. Oh, God. You know what I mean?
Yeah. I mean, sometimes I'm like, why are you putting that out there? But other times, the flip side is everybody is posting about a life that doesn't really exist too.
Yeah.
And that's where people do get sad and depressed when they scroll through Facebook and Instagram, Twitter somewhat, I believe too. Although Twitter, you don't really see about glamorous lives. It's people trying to be quick and witty in a short burst. But like Facebook, you'll see like, oh, wow, they're on a boat again. I'm never on a boat. Why don't I get to go on boats? Oh, no. Like, you know, and then people get down. It's like, okay, you see one moment of them on a boat smiling. You don't see it when they pulled into dock and the dad was yelling at them because they didn't fucking help with the anchor. And then, you know, I don't know, shit like that. So
a sunburn and...
You get a sunburn and that cute guy that is in the picture gives them an STD and never calls them again. You know, there's a whole thing.
Yeah, I mean, mostly people are watching Netflix.
Yeah, which is pretty good.
Or
I like the Netflix.
But not everybody's always traveling.
Yeah, you know, not everyone's always traveling. Not everyone's always living their best life. Hashtag blessed. All that stuff. All right, well, here's people who aren't blessed at the moment. You have now Jose Altuve, Aaron Judge, Chris Bryant. You go back to Corey Seager earlier in the season. We have a lot of superstars who are shelved. And what's crazy to me, Brido, is that let's go with the big three, Altuve, Judge, and Bryant. I don't think it's going to affect the outcomes. I mean, obviously, if Bryant's up for the whole year, that does. I don't think he's going to be up for the whole year. But now there's Judge 3 weeks. Altuve, we're not sure what the diagnosis is. But I don't think that affects the races in those divisions.
Well, the Yankees are what, 5.5 out?
They're gonna be the wild card. And I think with Judge out for 3 weeks, they'll still hold that number one wild card spot. So there's no real effect there. And then the Houston Astros without Altuve, I think, will survive Seattle and still hold on to that. And then the Cubs without Bryant, I think, will still hold on to their lead over Milwaukee. So it's amazing that really shows you how powerful these teams at the top are, where they could lose big name guys. I mean, those are three superstars I just named. I think they qualify under your superstar qualifications that Bill James laid out, and still not really take that big a hit. You know what I mean?
Yeah,
be able to control their destiny.
It is interesting that there's baseball. I mean, that just proves that it's such a team sport, and one guy, a Mike Trout, you know, an Ernie Banks, a modern day Ernie Banks, is not going to, no matter how good, is not going to make or break that team.
Yes. Also, though, it makes me wonder, does baseball, we know basketball has a parity problem, but is baseball, do we look closely enough? Because I mentioned that the three teams I named are so stacked that, yeah, obviously not one guy does anything. Yeah, well, obviously they have impact, but not one guy could carry you, because obviously why wouldn't the Angels be in the playoffs every year? That Mike Trout. But does baseball have a problem with are the teams at the top so powerful that like the rest of the league has gotten bad and we haven't noticed it yet? Is there a parity problem in Major League
Baseball? Well, I did see a headline that the worst teams and the best teams have never been farther apart, I guess.
So there you go then. That almost kind of,
but
that's almost the point in my favor.
But I mean, because there's tanking and that sort of stuff that, like, I don't really ever remember being a thing before. People were, you know, happy. But
Cubs and Astros kind of started that trend, right? I feel like, again.
But I mean, look at who has won the World Series, made it to the World Series in the past, 20 years. I mean, in my lifetime, I think like almost every single team other than like the Nationals and the Mariners have been to the World Series.
In your lifetime, every team has been to the World Series except those two.
I don't quote me on that.
You were born in 1980?
79. So that includes
the Let's see. No, let's see. This will be fun. I want to figure this out now. I'm going to name a team.
Yeah.
All right. You got Braves. Yes.
Yeah.
Angels. Yes. I'm just going to go alphabetical. Boston, of course.
Yeah.
The Cubs, of course. The White Sox. The Dodgers. Yeah. The Rockies.
Yep.
Tampa Bay.
Yeah.
Marlins. I've lost the alphabetical clearly. The Blue Jays.
Yes.
Yeah, so is it really the Mariners and the Nationals? Padres, yes. Giants, yes. I cover that. The Diamondbacks, yes. So I cover the West. Oakland. Oakland, yes.
Yeah.
That's what just Seattle and Washington. Damn, wow. That's pretty good. Is there not a third team?
I'm looking scrolling through, and like Padres, that's like they've been to the World Series twice.
Yeah, 84 and 98.
The Rockies went like a few years ago. The Reds won in 90.
Yeah, Pirates, Oakland.
The Brewers, yeah, 82. The Pirates were 79. Like that's
yeah, the Pirates were the year you were born. You know, I can name every World Series champion from 1970 to today.
That's pretty good. That's pretty good.
Yeah, I probably could go back to the 60s. Yeah, if you get the thing out, I'll go one after another. I got nothing. I wouldn't be looking it up. I'll just say it right now. We got 70 Baltimore, 71 Pittsburgh, 72, 73, 74 Oakland, 75, 76 Cincinnati, 77, 78 the Yankees, 79 Pittsburgh, 80 Philadelphia, 81 LA, 82 the Cardinals, 83 the Orioles, 84 Detroit Tigers, 85 Kansas City Royals, 86 the Mets, 87 the Twins, 88 the Dodgers, 89 the Oakland A's, 90 the Reds, 91 the Twins, 92, 93 Toronto, 94 the Strike, 95 was Atlanta, yep. 96 the Yankees, 97 the Marlins, 98, 99, 2000 the Yankees, 01 Diamondbacks, 02
Angels.
Angels, thank you. I hesitated for a second. I didn't need you filling that in, but thank you. 03 the Marlins, God, I hate that. 04 the Red Sox, 05 the White Sox, 06 the Cardinals, 07 the Red Sox again, 08 the Phillies, 09 the Yankees, 10 the Giants, yeah. 11 the Cardinals, 2012 the Giants again, 2013 the Red Sox, 2014 the Giants, stupid even number thing they had going there for a little bit, 2015 the Kansas City Royals, 2016 the Chicago Cubs, 2017 the Houston Astros.
I you would think that would be bad radio, but I actually enjoyed playing along.
Yeah, maybe it is, but people listening, maybe they're thinking, wow, what a nerd. But yeah, I'm very good at memorization. I could have been a lawyer, because that's all a lawyer is, just got to memorize laws.
I think Scott Bowser has them all memorized.
From the start? If I put some work into it, I probably could. Because I know 69, the Mets won. 68 was the Cardinals. 67, I believe, was.
I mean, you
sure. If I went back
a little bit more work, and you could go back to 2003, to 1903.
All you gotta do is memorize decade by decade. So if I take a day and memorize the 60s, take another day and memorize the 50s, by the end of the week, Brido, I'll have it all.
I mean, basically, you're gonna just have to remember the years that the Yankees didn't win.
Yeah, at one point. I had the presidents remembered from 1900 on.
Wow.
So I'm not gonna do that, though. All right. So, yeah, it's you're right, though. Baseball. I was just thinking maybe it's leaning that way because of the tanking was making me think, wow, the lowest of the lows, because you have teams like the White Sox and the Royals and now the Mets, where they're like Baltimore, good Lord, they're terrible, where they all have like 350 win percentages. And then you have the teams at the top. I feel like there are several teams in the 600 range, Boston, New York, Houston, Seattle, and the Cubs are flirting with that spot too, Milwaukee, where they're playing 600 or above ball.
Yeah, but again, like, I don't know why I looked at this week. I was just curious. I was like, okay, 1908 is over with. 1948, that's probably the longest. What are like the longest, you know, streaks? And there's like a Wikipedia page for it, and it's kind of boring. Because like if you look at who's been in the playoffs, even like this decade. By the way, the Yankees, no World Series this decade. I mean, like, when the last time, you know, the 80s? No, they were in there. Like, when has a decade gone by with no Yankees in the World Series?
Yeah, that's pretty crazy. I got to imagine I like their chances, though. They got, what, 2 more years? Or no, that this year and next year? Maybe they won't. Wow, that's weird. It'll be the first decade in a long time, then.
Yeah, because they went, I mean, like, they were pretty bad.
It'll be the first decade ever. Or the 1910s? Or the aughts, whatever you want to call it.
Yeah, like, but that, I mean, pre-Babe Ruth, the Highlanders, but. They had to be, I mean, the 80 World Series, that was the Phillies Royals, 81, was that Dodgers Yankees?
I think so.
So they, okay, definitely the 90s, definitely the 2000s. I wonder if this is like the first decade.
Oh, well, we got to look that
100
one up,
years man. That they haven't been in the World Series.
Yeah, I got to look that one up. That's pretty incredible. All right, well, we got the trade deadline coming up in 2 days. The Cubs acquired Cole Hamels, and, you know, we went back and forth in some texts about that one, what we think of it and whatnot. I'm trying to be a little more optimistic.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, look, it's not Cole Hamels in 2015 where you're like, whoa, this is game-changing. But the way I look at it is the Cubs' number five starter, Tyler Chatwood, has been brutal. He's got an ERA around 5. He's walking people at a historic rate. He's just not been good. And you know what's funny? This is what people do in sports all the time. So Tyler Chatwood, when the Cubs signed him, and look, a lot of teams thought, get him out of Coors Field, and this kid could be someone special because he has good stuff. So it wasn't like just the Cubs going on some weird intuition. He always had good road splits. In Coors, he was one way, but never like terrible. Not like how bad he is right now. But, you know, in Coors, he'd have an ERA in the 4s or whatever. And then on the road, he was like really, really good. He had like the best road ERA last year, Tyler Chatwood.
Yeah.
So you're thinking, okay, get this guy in Wrigley with that defense. And, you know, with the way the Cubs do a very good job of having a plan for their pitchers. So thinking, all right, we could flip this guy and make him awesome. And it's not been the case. He has been terrible. So the way I look at it, Cole Hamels, also a guy who outside of Texas has been fantastic. Not fantastic, but really, really good. Above league average outside of Texas. One of the worst starters in Texas. So I'm looking at it like, all right, that's something encouraging. But then you see people on Twitter, fans saying, didn't we hear this with Tyler Chatwood? So I'm like, okay, so one guy didn't prove the theory, then the theory shot to shit. Is that what you mean? That was like those almost kind of racist Cub fans who were like, I don't want any more Japanese players because Tokudome sucks. But that was a thing at one point where I'm like, that is the most, that's like ignorant to beyond belief. That'd be like saying, hey, no more Italian players because we had that Mickey Morandini and he didn't hit 40 home runs. Like, you know what I mean? Like,
you're missing out on Rizzo.
Stupid mindset. Yeah, then we miss out on Anthony Rizzo, the guy who puts Italian in Italian beef. That was a nickname I gave him on WGN television that me and Brido were on during the Cubs' historic playoff run. By the way, how crazy that is that the year the Cubs won the World Series, we got to be on a Cubs segment on WGN.
But I drive past that parking lot twice a week when I come back from the gym, and I always think, that's pretty cool.
Yeah, it was pretty sweet. I mean, like, and we basically wrote the sketch for them.
Yeah, okay, so we were – tell the story.
All right, here's the story. A friend of mine, who Pat Tomasulo, who's an anchor – sports anchor and has a show here called Man of the People in Chicago. It's on WGN. Great dude. He hit me up saying, hey, you know, because those Cubs Dodgers NLCS in 2016, they want to shoot some stuff with Cubs fans who now live in LA. So why don't you meet this guy here and, you know, whatever, it's going to be outside Dodger Stadium. So I, of course, naturally hit up Brian Stein and our buddy Brendan McGowan. And we asked Dwyer too, but he couldn't do it. And they,
that's
the,
our,
the guy basically,
that's our Cubs texting group, by the way. Good group.
Yes, it is.
Squad goals.
It is. I might have to wrap up the podcast a few minutes earlier, though, because my wife's at work, and I think my son's waking up from his nap, which means I'm hearing crying. So I'll end the story on this, and then we could, you know, summarize the trade deadline real quick. Anyway, so we meet the guy there outside of Dodger Stadium. We're all decked out in Cubs stuff, and he basically says, all right, so what do you guys got? And we're thinking, like, wait, what? Like, I just assumed you were going to interview us. But basically,
he
was like, well, you went back to the van.
Yeah. You guys,
and then we had to come up with an idea. What'd you say? I'm sorry. You talked while I was talking.
He just goes, well, I just figured you guys are the comedians.
Yeah, totally. And it's like, okay, buddy, thanks, but this is pretty lazy on your end. I mean, we didn't say that, but we were all thinking it. And then we came up with an idea where it's like, we'll just do rapid fire. You name a player, and then we give you what we think about it.
Yeah.
So, which I thought was a great concept, and it did work. So we went around the thing where to Brendan McGowan, David Ross. And Brendan's like, I don't have a grandpa, but I would like him to be mine, you know? And then Anthony Rizzo to me, hey, what can I say? He's the main ingredient. He puts the Italian in Italian beef. Gotta love Anthony Rizzo. Chris Bryant to you, which you could say your line.
I think I said, if you visit LA, like, make sure you visit the ocean. But if you can't get down there, you can just stare into Chris Bryant's eyes in the series.
Yeah, because they're beautiful. He's got beautiful blue eyes. Is something what your point like was. Something like that, yeah. Anyway, it was really popular. I remember it had like over 100,000 views in the first day. It was on the WGN Facebook fan page, and people were commenting, going, LOL this, LOL that to our stuff. And I remember going, oh, this is great. And it was one of those things I forgot about, even about that historic season as a fan.
They edited out when they asked me about Javi Baez, and I just go, pure sex.
Yeah, they did. Pure sex. That was good. I had a line too that they cut. I can't remember what it was. But I knew they weren't going to. We did like 12 players, and then we weren't going to have to do 12. So they did like Fowler, 6 or 7.
Like they asked us like basically the entire starting lineup, and
yeah, he just went down the road.
And part of me was like, oh man, I talked about Chris Bryant's beautiful eyes, and I said that Javi Baez is pure sex. Like I'm going to look like I like the Cubs because I am gay.
Which now there's nothing wrong with Brido. You are gay for the Cubs.
No, but I like who's not, who but is? I like baseball too.
Yeah.
I don't like
I think you're
because I'm gay.
I know. I have nothing to follow up with what you're saying, bud. You're kind of like you're leaving me hanging a little bit here. All right, man. Baseball's trade deadline's going on right now. Anyone that you think I think DeGrom stays DeGrom. I don't think the Mets move him. He's the best starter in the National League right now.
My dad and brother-in-law are texting me links that are like Cubs still talking about acquiring like a pitcher, and then like DeGrom is on the picture of the headline, and I'm like, I'm not even fucking clicking on this.
No, the Cubs will probably add a relief pitcher, which I think is a smart move. The Brewers recently added Mike Moustakas, who, you know, solid bat, but I think it kind of hurts their defense because they're moving Shaw to second base. And I don't see him playing second base well. And Moustakas is below average at third, where I think Shaw was above average there. So I don't know if they're just thinking. I think they were trying to get a deal for a starter, and maybe the price was too high in Milwaukee. So they're like, you know what? We could get this guy for a decent haul. Let's just add more offense. We're a hitter-friendly ballpark. Let's just try to outslug some of these teams. And it's not that bad a strategy when the Cubs are your main opposition and the Cubs starting staff has been struggling, although Kyle Hendricks looked like Kyle Hendricks finally last night, and Lester had a really nice start, his last start. You just got to get Quintana right. It was weird because Quintana had been going good. His previous 10 starts, he actually had like a 3 ERA, and
those are the three best pitchers on the team, and they're all having pretty bad years for them.
Yeah. Hendricks and Quintana especially.
I think Montgomery is probably better than is the number four, but like, what can you do?
Yeah, no, I mean, I like Montgomery and I'm glad he's staying in the starting rotation, but yeah, what can you do? We got White Sox fan listeners. Jose Abreu is a big name. It sounds like they want to keep him just for leadership purposes. I almost think that's a mistake. I think if you could get, you know, why not just add more young talent? Like Abreu is a really good first baseman.
By the way, shout out to listener Dylan Brown. We got into an Abreu conversation, and Abreu versus Rizzo. He got into an argument about who's a better hitter. It's hands down, it's Abreu.
By the way, you use phrases like hands down and absolutely when the person who's better is slightly better. Abreu is not hands down. Better. You'll do that. You'll be like, this guy is hands down a better WAR. And I go, well, it's 6.0 to 5.4. So don't say hands down like it's 6 WAR to a 3 WAR. You know what I mean?
Well, how would you define hands down?
I think use better words.
I have.
No, I don't know. Dude, you showed us the comparisons. And I agreed that Abreu as a hitter had Rizzo, not by a lot, but was a little bit better. But then I also said Riz was a better base runner and a better defender and 3 years younger.
Are you ready to lose an argument?
No, I'm not.
I have all the best words. Trust me, I have the best words. Okay. If the argument is best hitter, and that's it, not base runner, just
hitter. All right, fine. You're right. Best hitter, he is better, but I still think 3 years younger is why.
And
if we're comparing Rizzo's entire body of work to Abreu from 27 to 31. If we're going to compare 27 to 31 for Rizzo, then I think there's a win.
I know, but that wasn't the argument, Joe.
All right, fine, man. I just don't want anyone from the White Sox having anything.
I don't either.
You get nothing, Sox fans.
I don't either.
No, they got, dude, Eloy Jimenez looks like he's going to be someone who's going to haunt the Cubs for a while, unless we win a ring with Quintana on the team. The Cubs get another ring with Quintana as a starter, then the trade's worth it. That's how we determine trade success.
Yes.
That's exactly. You know what I mean? Like, if a couple of those guys, the Dodgers shipped off to Baltimore, end up being superstars, but the Dodgers won the World Series this year with Manny. Fine. Also, by the way, I'm back on. I want the Cubs to get Manny in the offseason.
A lot of Machado talk in LA.
Are they loving him?
Yes. And I think it's interesting. The Dodgers rule this fucking city. They just rule it. I don't even think I've seen an Angels hat outside of Anaheim in my fucking life.
I think it's just associated with Orange County, and LA is so wants to be distant from Orange County.
Yeah.
I think that's what they do with Anaheim. All right. Well, dude, it was a good podcast this week. We'll be back next week. You guys listen to Brido's album, The Hungry Wolf Strikes Best, or Hunts Best, I mean. Strikes Best would have been a good title, too.
Empire Strikes Back. It's my movie that I wrote in 1980.
Yeah. my album, Pay Attention. You can listen to that. I got another podcast called Kilgallen's Pub. Follow us on Twitter. He's at Brido on Twitter. I'm at Joe Kilgallen. And, you know, just keep telling your friends about it. We'd like to get more than one female listener. And once they get a lot more listeners in general, we enjoy doing this podcast. And we hope you enjoy it too. So big thanks to all of you for listening. This has been Comedians Talking Baseball. In the city. Sorry, Dylan. It's kind of true. I'd like to go to a game. Hit me up, Dylan. I'll go to a game. I want to go down to the ballpark. I like the neighborhood.
Yeah.
A lot of people don't because it's not like Wrigley, but to me, it's got like this authentic neighborhood vibe. I went to day camp in that neighborhood. Like, I there's some good little food places down there. You got Phil's on 35th. Some good pizza there. What else you got? There's the Maxwell Street Depot. Delish. Cheap as hell still. Yeah. So, I'll go to a Sox game with any Sox fans who listen, who want to, pick old Joey's brain and watch some baseball, man. I'm your guy.
I do.
And take Brido to a Cardinal game.
I think most Cardinal fans are trash people, though. I just want to say that.
Cool. Well, there goes St. Louis for our listener.
I don't even know if I know any Cardinals fans. Yes, I do. Plenty that I'm still friends with. It's almost a prerequisite for me. And if you're a Cardinals fan, I'm like, you know, just small doses of you is all I can really take.
Yeah, they do have a bad online presence. They call themselves the best fans in baseball. And then when you do that, when you throw that arrogance to yourself, people are going to look to tear you down. They're going to look to poke holes in that theory. Are you really the best fans? And they're going to show examples of people acting like assholes, which, you know, there's different rumors for. I actually felt bad for them, and this was shitty journalism. Remember when the Cubs faced the Cardinals for the first time in 2016 and we'd just gotten Jason Hayward?
Yes.
And people had said that, there was reports that they were yelling the N-word at Jason Hayward. And they asked Jason Hayward this. He goes, I didn't hear that. And then everyone was like, no one heard that. This is a blatant lie. And it was a lie. Everyone around said that's not true whatsoever. So I kind of felt bad in that regard. Hold on. Holly, shut up. My dog's getting all amped up because my wife's home. Anyway, let's talk about the All-Star game right now.
By the way, my dad's neighbor, my mom and dad's neighbor, all Cardinals fans, and the Cardinals got rid of old Busch Stadium and had like a new one. And his neighbor goes, "Hey, you know what the Cubs and Cardinals have in common?" And I was like, "What's that?" And he goes, "Neither one of them had won a World Series in their new park."
Oh, what a dick.
And they fucking won that year. It was the best Cardinal fan joke I've ever heard, and it can't be topped. However, now you're in third place, you fucking pieces of shit.
That's right, man. Who wears the crown now, baby? Boys in blue from the north side. So I am really happy with Baez and Contreras being the starters at their position. You can make an argument that Contreras is really the second best catcher in the NL right now because of what's his face in Miami.
So,
yes, he's having a better year, but only slightly better. It's not like, oh shit. Like there are some years where you're like, that's wrong.
I don't know if it's slightly better. I think he has the second highest WAR in the National League.
Does he? I think he's like 3-2, and I thought Contreras was 2-something. I thought it was closer than that. Maybe you're right. I don't have Fangraphs open right now, so you're possibly right. But if you went by WAR, you know what hurts outfielders is they don't go left field, right field, center field. It's just outfield.
I know.
I think they should go by position because then our guy, Kyle Schwarber, would be the starting left fielder. Or at least he should be.
Yeah, they made some weird decisions in the outfield, but
because he's the WAR leader in that spot.
Real Muto has a 3.5 WAR. Freddie Freeman has a 3.6 WAR.
Damn. So yeah, so he's a good. Well, he's an All Star. He made the team.
Oh, Real Muto made the team. So I'm not. But the thing is, he also has only played 66 games as opposed to 89 games for Freeman. So he wasn't showing up on like a lot of those lists if you wanted it like qualified. So he's kind of like Max Muncy in that like he's not on any of the, like the leaderboards because he hasn't played enough games. But then like, you know, you switch it to like zero minimum and Max Muncy has like a 3 WAR and 20 home runs.
Yeah, you know what? Next week we're going to talk about Max Muncy. I want to talk about some of the people who've come out of nowhere. And explain where, because he's not a rookie.
He played for Oakland a little bit.
I think he's like 26 or something. I don't think he's that young.
27.
There you go. Like, I don't know. Sometimes is he a flash in the pan? Is he the real deal? Is he Jake Fox?
I mean,
you know what I mean? Is
they
he
can figure out how to pitch to him?
That's what I mean. Sometimes these guys come in where you're like, this dude is the next big thing, and you're like, why was he in the minors for so long?
Right.
There's other people of different reasons. Like Aaron Judge, the power was already always there. They just had to figure out a way to get his strikeout rate down a little bit, which it's still very, it's high. He's going to strike out 200 times a year, but he'll hit you 50 bombs, play good D, and have a high enough on-base percentage where you don't really care that he strikes out that much. But he came up, he was in the same draft as Chris Bryant, but was a rookie last year in 2017, where Bryant was rookie in 2015.
Right.
You know, so he was a little bit of a later bloomer. Which that happens every now and then. Sometimes you're blocked. Sometimes you're Ryan Howard and you're killing it in the minors, but you have Jim Tomei at the major league level. You know? So
the Dodgers always have somebody come up and kill it right away.
And St. Louis was like that too, where I'm like, what? They never miss a beat.
Oh, right. Yeah, forever. Yeah. I can't think
of remember when Matt Carpenter came up going, what?
They lost every shortstop they had. And then whoever came up was like Cuban. I can't think of his name. Aledmys Diaz?
Yes.
Off the top of my head, I pulled Aledmys Diaz out of my ass.
That's good. I'm very proud of you. All right, so let's go over the starters very quickly. You got two Braves. You got Markakis and Freeman. Bryce Harper's in there. Around the infield, you have Arenado.
Crawford.
Crawford, Baez, and at first Freeman, who I mentioned before. Matt Kemp was the other outfielder to go along with Markakis and Harper.
I'm saying that Freeman, Arenado, and Markakis are correct. I did vote for Contreras, and I did vote for Javi. You could have gone Ozzie Albies.
You could have, but I like Baez better. Because, look, the All-Star game has to be some of it. This is where baseball screws up. I mean, obviously, you want the real All-Stars there. But also, you need some excitement. One of the biggest mistakes baseball ever made was in 1998, not having Kerry Wood, not only in the All-Star game, but starting it. This was a phenom coming off a 20-strikeout game and had a great first half. He got snubbed. He should have been an All-Star.
Right.
But they thought, oh, they got Sosa and great. You know, sometimes, you know, the whole every team needs an All-Star. I'm almost wondering if that should be done away with.
Yeah, especially if they're tanking.
Yeah, right? Like, I know they're doing it because, hey, this helps ratings. If everyone, they watch to see their guy. But it always feels cheap when you got a Brian LaHare as your All-Star representative.
I mean,
you know, like
again, the Reds are 15 games out, and don't you think that Scooter Gennett and Joey Votto and Suarez are all stars?
No, they definitely are. The Reds have some good hitters.
Yeah.
They just have no pitchers.
Yeah.
So, and no real top of the line. I mean, I don't know.
So Schwarber is a snub, but he's about number six for me on the snubs list.
Who's your top five snubs?
And actually, I looked and I noticed.
And then we'll wrap it up there.
And I noticed for the National League in the American League, I noticed that in the final vote thing, they actually did a pretty good job.
Usually they get the snubs in the final vote. So kind of like a last ditch thing for fans.
Yeah. So Trey Turner was my number one snub.
That's a good one.
Then Brandon Belt. Then Carpenter. And they have Aguilar from the Brewers on there too. And Max Muncy. So they're like five finalists. They did not have Anthony Rendon or Schwarber or Brandon Nimmo or even like Zobrist could have fucking been on there. Nimmo wasn't even on the ballot, I don't think.
What about Alberto Almora? You could kind of make a – you could throw an argument. I mean, I know his WAR is only like a little under two maybe.
Sure.
But he's having a great year.
So they it actually
– tied for the National League batting lead.
Some people are – like Bryce Harper, okay – he's a star.
Hometown, yeah.
I get that. Charlie Blackman. What are you guys doing?
Was Blackman an all-star? I didn't notice that.
Charlie Blackman is like 26th in outfield WAR. Fucking, what are you doing?
Yeah, you know what? That's people remembering a hot month. He had a really good start. That's Kosuke Fukudome syndrome, where you have a hot couple months.
Started, yeah.
Yeah, remember that? Hot 2 months, and people were like, oh, this is our guy. All right, looking at the AL All-Star team, Mookie Betts, absolutely. Mike Trout, absolutely. Aaron Judge, absolutely.
Their whole thing is correct, other than you probably go Lindor over Machado, but who the fuck am I? First base, I'm sorry, White Sox fans, Abreu is not the good starter there.
Who's your starting first baseman AL then?
Matt Olson.
Ooh, yeah. I remember bringing him up early in the years, talking about him being like a kind of a sleeper guy. He's your Muncy, like where you're like, where did this guy come from?
Right. And then like CJ Cron. I mean, no one's going to vote for Matt Olson other than me and CJ. You know. Then, so my biggest snubs.
How about Glenbart Torres making it, though? Does that hurt as a Cub fan?
I didn't. It's not super fun.
Yeah, I mean, we got a ring, so we can't be mad, but it's like, oh, my God.
I don't think he deserves to make the team.
But I think it's a little bit much, but second base, I don't know, like.
Jed Lowry?
Yeah, good point.
Jed Lowry, well, you know, a final five, and he should be.
He should be. You know, I'm hoping injuries. Well, right now, though, Glenbart Torres is on the DL.
Well, I mean, it's still an honor to be on the thing. You get listed as an all-star.
You do, because there's always a few pitchers who back down and then some other pitchers who are worthy. I do think, though, you know what? Harper's not deserving, but I think sometimes you need to throw the stars out there. You got to put some personalities out there. Depends. Like I said before, baseball needs to do a better job marketing their players. They just don't.
So I should probably clarify, like, this is how I'm looking at it. I'm looking at it like, who's had the year up to this point? I think that's how I vote.
I got you.
You could say, well, you should pick the biggest stars. Like, you know, the last year, Ripken starting at third, and then, like, A-Rod moving him over. That felt right and good. And Jeter starting his final year, that felt right and
good. Yes, that felt good. I agree.
But for the most part, I vote based on who's having the best season so far. Because it, just like you said, like, with Kerry Wood, like, oh, this guy doesn't. He's a rookie. He'll have plenty of, you know, but he probably wants to go to the fucking All-Star game.
Exactly, and he would have been a great story. People would have tuned in to see this 20-year-old phenom facing the American League's best hitters.
Right.
That's where they screw up. That's what kills me. Obviously, you don't want to leave off deserving people because they're not flashy or they don't have name recognition and all that kind of stuff. You want those guys there too because you want people to be like, "Who's this Suarez guy?" Shit, he's leading. He's got a freaking 320 batting average, 890. Or no, he's leading the league in OPS plus. Damn, I never heard of Eugenio Suarez.
Right.
982 OPS, damn, 161 OPS plus, and he's leading the league in RBIs, to give one of the old stats out there too.
Then again, shit. I don't know how many people are not going to know who Eugenio Suarez is, but know what an OPS plus is.
Very good point. very good point. True. Very true. All right. Yeah, I just think because that's what you really want to see at the All-Star game. I thought Chris Bryant should have been in it last. I remember my dad saying, Bryant's not an All-Star. I go, he's having a little bit of a down year. He didn't have the best first half. But my dad's like, doesn't matter. He's a star. He was an All-Star the last 2 years. He was the MVP and a great player for the World Series championship team. He should be there. I was like, you know what? You're right. This is where baseball fucks up.
Yeah, I mean, if you're doing like an all-star team instead of like who's playing well, then everything is switched up. You got, you know, Buster.
I think it could be both.
And
can't it be a little bit of both? Because you know what that really kills me is at the end of last year, Chris Bryant was maybe the best third baseman or second best third baseman. It's a little annoying that the All-Stars are based on who has a good first half, because there's a lot of players who don't have good first half. But if you look at the end of the year, you go, yeah, this guy, Jake Arrieta wasn't an All-Star in 2015. Granted, he had no name recognition, so I'm not saying he should have been.
Right.
But at the end of the year, he was a Cy Young winner. There's it people who have won MVPs always, and Cy Youngs that weren't All-Stars.
And it's always funny to see who won an MVP and was not an All-Star.
Right?
It is or funny like, to see that. I feel like Jim Thome was barely an All-Star. Shit like that.
Yeah, there's always a few people where you look back and you're like, really? 3 or 4 times for that guy, huh? Okay, that's a little surprising. Because they have a Hall of Fame career, but they weren't an All-Star that often. Sometimes you get fucked by position. You mentioned Brandon Belt being a snub. He's a first baseman. There's so many good first basemen.
Yeah. I mean,
you know, sometimes you get screwed. I almost think, you know, I don't mean to cut you off, but we do got to wrap this up because sorry, listeners. You're hearing this later than you'd want. It's supposed to be out Monday. It's probably going to be out late Monday night or even early Tuesday. Anyway, though, thank you for subscribing to us on iTunes and follow us on Twitter and all that good stuff. Anyway, like us on Facebook. I say for Hall of Fame, you know, I floated the idea, but then you kind of corrected me. So I changed my thought process. But I was saying, what if you pick the top 3 players at your position in your era? You should be a Hall of Famer. How about this? Top 3 at each position is an All-Star. Then you see, I did the math on this, right? There's 8 positions. You don't count pitcher. Pitcher's different. Top 3, that's 24. I got 24 players right there. Top 3 left fielders, top center, top whatever, you know. Then you take your 10 to 12, you take 12 pitchers even. So then you got 36. Or you could take 11 pitchers to make 35. I almost think, fuck it, do a 40-man roster. But then some players aren't getting into the game. I don't know.
Yeah.
Do 24, then do 10 pitchers. And then do like the final vote for that 35th spot.
I don't understand.
It seems like the best way to do it.
Why they have relief pitchers.
In the All-Star game? Yeah.
And you're going to be like, dude, stop it with your hatred of relief pitchers. Here's the thing,
though. No, I don't hate it. I think there should only be maybe a couple. I don't think there should be 5 or 6 like they have some years.
Yeah, like, okay.
If you're elite, fine. We'll take you. But other than that, you got to just understand it, you know? Like DHs. There's not multiple DHs taken.
I'm looking at, like, the American League relief pitchers. Like, okay, Chapman and Kimbrel are stars. Diaz, Jimenez, you know, these guys aren't stars. Wouldn't you rather see Gerrit Cole as a one-inning closer than any of those people?
Absolutely.
Maybe not Kimbrel and Chapman, like, in their heyday.
No, yeah, those dudes. Is Chapman an All-Star this year?
Yeah.
Wow. Man, the Yankees got a lot. Yeah, obviously Kimbrel, Jansen, guys like that I want to see in the All-Star game. You know, when Eric Gagne was Eric Gagne, yeah, I wanted to see that. But you're right, though. I'd rather see Gerrit Cole even come in to be like a specialty, one and done, you know? That'd be fun to see.
Like James Paxton doesn't make the All-Star team, but Joe Jimenez does. Do you know what the fuck James Paxton would look like as a one-inning closer? Get the fuck out of my face.
I know, because we talked about this before on the podcast. So many of these guys were failed starters, so you're right.
Yeah.
I'd rather see some more. I mean, I'm okay with rewarding, like, the top 2, maybe. If we take 12 pitchers, 10 starters, 2 closers. Sometimes there's guys, but fuck the closer. What about, like, your Andrew Miller role, who's going multiple innings right at the most important part of the game? Give me that guy.
That Greinke's not an All-Star.
Doolittle used to do that before he became a closer.
Doolittle is an All-Star.
He is an all-star. He actually had a really funny tweet. He we'll end the podcast on this. Sean Doolittle, now of the Nationals, who was an Oakland A for a long time. Really good dude. Seems like a woke dude if you're into that. which most people should be. I feel like you want someone who's got, you know.
I am.
Yeah. He tweeted, "Hey, at Smash Mouth, guess what?" He tweeted at the band Smash Mouth, and then the band Smash Mouth responded, "What?" And then he tweeted back, "I'm an all-star." Which is amazing. So good for him. I'm actually happy he's in the game because of that alone. All right, Brido. Everyone, thanks for listening to Comedians Talking Baseball. I'm Joe Kilgallen. That's Mike Bridenstine. You know where to find us. You can go back and listen to past episodes, because what we do is we talk about the history of baseball in each one. So it's not like, oh, I don't want to hear about April baseball talk. You're going to hear some cool shit that'll open up your mind and really make you love baseball even more, because that's our goal. Our goal is to make people love baseball.
It'll open up more than your mind, fellas.
Damn straight. All right. Thanks for listening.